I'm just going to prepare you because I feel better standing up than I do sitting. Some of you know I've been having problems with a sciatic nerve on my left side. And when I sit down, it can be quite painful. And when I stand up, the pain goes away. So if the sermon goes a little long today and you need to leave, just go ahead and leave. Because standing up is very close to painless for me right now. I'm going to fill out about 10 slips to drop in this prayer box because I obviously my prayers aren't working right now and I need yours. As I get ready to read this, I want to give you a little bit of background about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the prophet during the Babylonian captivity who stayed at home with the people that were staying there. Okay? So he's in Jerusalem, and he's the prophet to them. Isaiah is the prophet to the ones who have been transported back to Babylon. So I just want you to know that so that you can distinguish between the two. I'm going to start reading in chapter 23. Verse 23 and down through verse 29. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusion of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream. And let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. I want to center really on verses 23 and 24 for today. But the lectionary passage continues on to this other piece, and I want to let you know this, that starting back in verse 9 and running through the end of chapter 23, this little small piece that I want to look at today is in the midst of a passage about false prophets. In the midst of this passage about false prophets are words about God's presence. And that's what I want to center on today, is about God's presence. Not upon the prophets that were speaking their own dreams, their own desires, that were speaking what people wanted to hear, that were letting them know, oh, don't worry about this captivity thing. It's okay. It's going to go away soon. That's what these other prophets were speaking, and God wants to address that. These prophets were sharing words that people wanted to hear as the words of God. That same thing still happens today. People share the words that people want to hear. There are still pastors and preachers and teachers that do that. And all of Scripture tells us that there will be people like that, and it will happen like that, that they will tell people what they want to hear. I believe it's the book of Timothy that says they'll hire people that will tickle their ears, meaning that they'll be receiving what they really want to hear. So many of these prophets were saying, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's going to be all right. No problem. Well, we know as we look back upon this that it lasted for 70 years. It was not something that was over in a couple of weeks. or even a year or two, as some of the prophets that were against Jeremiah were saying. Now, I do want to let you know that Jeremiah never gets treated in a great and a wonderful way. Matter of fact, there's even one story in the book of Jeremiah. He got thrown into a well and left for dead. And they were just hoping he would die because they're tired of listening to what he's saying. So they said, we're going to get rid of him. We're throwing him in this well, and we just hope that he dies and we never have to listen to him preach again. Well, in the midst of this situation, God comes and asks three questions that cause people to think about God's presence. Causing people to think about God's presence. And this is what I want you to take away from this today. Not about all these prophets and what they were doing and how they were speaking against each other and how some were leading people in the wrong direction and others were not. God asks these three questions that maybe we need to bring to the forefront of our lives. God says, am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Now, in order to understand this question, you've got to go back and think in the way that the people during this time thought. Because we don't think this way anymore. Okay? The people back then thought that each God had a territory on earth. So as you move from one place to another, you had to learn who the new God was so that you could make sure that you appease that God. That's why when you read the story about the ladder to heaven, does anybody remember that story? How Jacob comes and he uses this stone as a pillow. I've been camping a lot in my life. I have never used a stone as a pillow. But I guess that's all that was available. And he's using that. And what does he see? He sees this ladder with angels ascending and descending from heaven. And he gets up in the morning and he says, oh my gosh. God lives here. And he names that place Beth-El. El being the shortened form of the word Elohim, which means God. Beth means house. He says, surely this is the house of God right here. Now, why is he so surprised? He did not expect to find that particular God 1,000 miles from where he just came. That's why that story is so significant. Because he's been living 1,000 miles toward the east, and he comes and says, oh my goodness, the same God that I know from 1,000 miles from here is God here also. How incredible is that, is what he says. That's why that story is so significant, because God is not a local God. Can you imagine what that would be like? To move to a new place and then have to find out, well, what's the God that's in control here? And what's this God's rules? And what do I have to do to follow this God? That's just, I can't imagine that. That would definitely make me never move. Because I would hate to go and find who's this God and who's this God. God says, not only am I a God that's close, but I'm also a God that's far off. I'm the same God in both places. Now, why do I bring that up in a way? I bring that up because I know of some folks, and I've heard this. Maybe you never have, but I've heard this. Well, I'm in church, so I can't say what I really want to say. Now, why do we say that? Is it because we believe that God lives here, but not out there? If you can't say it in here, then why can't you say it out there? What's the difference between in here and standing out on the street or across town somewhere else? God is not a localized God. And the incredible thing about God is we're all going to be, at one point in time, I counted about 70 people here today. We're all going to be in different directions here in a little bit. Guess what? God goes with you. Guess what? God goes with me. God's where all of us go. There is not a place that you can find that God's not going to be. For many years now, I've been convinced if we really thought about that, would we act different? Would we say different? If you can't act or say that inside the church, then why is it okay to say it outside the church? Why is it okay to say it out at work? I just ask you to think about that. The second question that God asks is, who can hide in a secret place so that I cannot see them? Guess what? The implied answer to this also is, there is no place you can hide that God does not see you. There is no place. No matter where you go. I got a nice little quiet place in the basement that, yes, my wife doesn't know how to find me there. That's why a wall and a door needs to be, no. The cat knows how to find me there and comes and interrupts me and explains to me what I'm supposed to be doing instead of being in that space. Now, you guys won't believe me, but at 4 o'clock this afternoon, if I'm in that space in the basement, the cat will come and the cat will explain to me that I'm supposed to be up in the staff lounge laying on the day bed taking a nap right now because it's 4 o'clock. How she knows how to tell time, I don't know. She did it to me yesterday. She did it to me the day before. If I'm down there at 9 o'clock at night, she comes in. There is no secret place, though. I may be able to hide from some folks, but there is no secret place from God. You can't hide from God. Which kind of leads me to another thing. If I can't hide from God, doesn't God already know what's going on up here? Even when what's going on up here is not right? Does God not know about it? That's why some of you might be surprised about my prayer life. Because I talk to God how I feel. Not in flowery words that sound wonderful all the time. I still remember the time that, and I've shared this with some of you before, that I held a young child that died crib death. That was not a pretty prayer that I said in my head to God. Because what I said to God, and for the rest of that day, God, things like this should not happen. Where were you? There's no secrets. If I was thinking it already and feeling it already, the best thing I can do is talk with God about it. That's the example of the Psalms. The Psalms show me over and over again that even ugly things and ugly thoughts can turn into prayers. If you don't believe me, go read Psalm 137, and I will stop right there. I'm not going to tell you about it. That is the ugliest prayer I've ever seen in the Bible. The absolute ugliest. Not Christian. Just go read the last couple of lines. But yet God accepted that as a prayer. And we have it recorded so we can read it. There is no secret place from God. And the last thing that God says is, do I not fill heaven and earth? Do I not fill it all? 150 billion galaxies. And God is in all of it. And God is right here, right now. And God walks with you as you walk out of the church today. And God goes wherever you go the rest of this day. And God also goes with me wherever I go the rest of this day. If we spent some time, because see, God's not limited to any one place, but is in all places at all times. If we could recognize that fact, would we think more about how we live our lives? If I thought, right before I said something, if I thought God's right here, right now, would God be pleased with what I'm getting ready to say? Would God be happy the way that I'm getting ready to do something? Would God be happy in the place that I go to? You see, if we could get a hold of God's presence, our actions and words would change if we realized the presence of God. One book I'll recommend to you that's a wonderful and a great, fantastic, little small book, because some of you guys don't like the books I pick out. Amen? I'm not hearing the people that I'm expecting to say amen. It's a little book called In the Presence of God by a man by the name of Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a soldier, had been a warrior most of his life, and he got fed up with it and realized that was not the right way for him to be walking. And he went and lived in a monastery and became a monk at an old age. Not while he was young, at an old age. Since he had not grown up in the church and been part of everything in the church, and since he didn't know how the monastery did things and their procedures and all the traditions that they had, they put him in charge of the kitchen. In that little book, one of the things that he writes is an incredibly fantastic thing. He says, I feel closer to God washing pots and pans than I ever do in the sanctuary. He was able to live in the presence of God washing pots and pans. How about you? Do you live in the presence of God when you wash pots and pans? Well, the real answer is yes. But what I'm asking is, do you know God's presence when you're washing pots and pans? He said he'd rather do that any day than go attend a worship service. That's why the book's valuable. Because he did everything he could to think about how do I live in the presence of God, no matter what I'm finding myself doing. How do I recognize that? How do I live that? How do I praise God in the midst of that? I wash dishes every night after supper. Because that's the only time my wife will let me play in the bubbles. But sometimes I really think about, as I'm looking out the kitchen window washing dishes, is God right here? And as I look out the window and see all the flowers my wife has planted in our backyard, as I see the chipmunk come and go, as I see the rabbits in the backyard, as I look out the window and see the evidence of deer on my tomato plants, as I watch the groundhog run across the backyard, you know what? God's right there in the midst of all that. And I want to ask you to think about, do you need to acknowledge more deeply God's presence? Do you need to acknowledge more deeply God's presence? Because wherever you are, God is right there with you. I know some of you might say, if I could have walked with Jesus those 3 years that Jesus was here, my faith would be great and fantastic and I would never have any problems. Well, the first question I want to ask you is, why did those 12 guys that did walk with him have so many problems then? And why did they not get it? Because they were walking with him every day. You know what? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us, we have God's presence like those disciples never had until the day of Pentecost. We have an opportunity to live closer to God than those who walked with Jesus. I'm asking you to think about recognizing that and processing it some. What does that mean? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do go about our lives doing our own things sometimes, walking in ways that don't acknowledge you, that we just don't even recognize that you're there. And Lord, the truth is that we always have your presence with us. We need to learn how to recognize that. So we pray that you would take us back to understand that you fill the whole heaven and the earth. That there is no secret place that we can get away from you. And that you're not a God that's localized, but a God that's everywhere we go. So Lord, help us to recognize that. That we might live lives that please you. That we might live lives that praise you. And that we might live lives that continue in a life of prayer because you're always right there to talk with. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.